top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die, only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 431 of the Really Awful Movies podcast, Popcorn. Now, there's a tendency, obviously, to try and impose order on something that's inherently, like, kind of, in many ways, fungible and chaotic, and that's different kinds of styles and eras of horror movies. And there's a particular sensibility and aesthetic approach that immediately leaps to mind if you say 80s horror. Even if there's a little bleed from one decade to another, let's say something that Fulci might have released in 79 that isn't quite a 80s horror. And obviously we have some sort of inherent desire or will to segment things into decades just for organizational purposes. And I think none of us is immune to that kind of thinking. But what I've seen, and this is only admittedly anecdotally and through certain social media platforms with which a lot of horror fans tend to gravitate, there seems to be a wave of nostalgia that clouds the vision and the dispassion which with which people approach different eras. And there is a certain amount of elevating things solely because of something that's built around a nostalgia for having grown up in a particular demo, whether that's a millennial or up and coming now Gen Z and whatever the one following it is. But as best I can, looking back at things and not with rose-colored glasses and trying to be as objective as possible and doing this by introduction, by way of top 10 lists by different decades, I have come to the assertion that unless someone can prove otherwise, and you know, maybe I haven't to the degree I should tap this decade enough, but I think 90s horror is among the weaker decades that's ever it's ever been in the genre. And I was thinking about that when I was trying to compile a list of different things. And it's not to say, you know, that these are all like interchangeable, fungible doodads. I mean, obviously, when you have something like The People Under the Stairs or something energetic and exploitative and gross as like an Ebola syndrome, and then the likes of a Scream. Obviously, there's a lot of diversity that that comes from the decade, but I think that's more that's more because of the genre itself and how it lends itself to different color palettes, rather than anything inherent about this time period that would have been all about that. So I think when it comes to this period, there's really only one film and one IP that stands supreme, and that's Candyman. And until I'm proven otherwise, I don't think there's any other film that can capture the originality and uniqueness of that film in a way. I mean, I always try and give credit and not come too hard on it on Wes Craven's Scream, because I'm not the biggest Kevin Williamson fan. I think a lot of the dialogue is a little self-satisfied, and although at times it's funny, I think it does a disservice to the actual horror elements of what is ostensibly supposed to be a horror when everything's so self-referential. And I've said time and time again that gallows humor serves horror films well, because they're bits of levity that happen after a chaotic or intense or particularly fruitful, terrifying moment that can help give audiences a little bit of respite. But when you're constantly being self-referential and meta, like in the case of the recent Bodies flick, I mean, that one I quite liked, actually, but there's a shadow that's been cast by the likes of I Know What You Did Last Summer, and just the constant meta ironic posturing and referencing that I don't think is that great. Now, when you come to something like a Popcorn, I don't think I'm willing to die on this hill quite just yet, but I think this could be possibly the second best horror of the 90s. And that's could be like, damning with faint praise in a way, but I don't mean it to. And I think this one stacks up very, very capably against the likes of a Scream. And I think inserts its cultural references and meta genre nods in a way that is not as obvious. And I think warrants multiple viewings to catch all of them, but it's not something that's as conspicuous and as obvious as the characters in Scream chattering away about their lifespans and what particular demographic or ethnicity is supposed to die first and that kind of thing, which I think can get exhausting. And I think also when it comes down to it, just Scream suffers a little bit from a weaker than typical antagonist in a way that antagonists that really are top of the top tier, top shelf, like Joe Spinell's character in Maniac, really elevate certain proceedings and take them really into the next level. Or obviously a Freddy Krueger. Incidentally, and as an aside, I read a Collider article about Bob Englund's favorite horror films, and it's something I think people should check out, because he's got really good, eclectic, wide-ranging tastes spanning decades. People can go read that for themselves, but quite often, if people are too in the zone, I think their taste can be a little skewed, but he seems to have a really good sense of what makes a great horror and what doesn't in many cases. But Popcorn, I mean, right off the bat, this is a pastiche. This is a melange. This is an homage. Like, this is a film that is all about the stage. And we've seen others of this type, whether it's, you know, the likes of a New Year's Evil or a Stage Fright or something like a Demons with its movie within a movie, or in fact being set in a theater, obviously the Berlin Theater that this mysterious masked figure invites people to for the screening. And it's a quite, you could throw in the likes of an opera as well, Dario Argento. Something about the live performance is something that mirrors the experience really of the live aspect of cinema going, which is at its best and at its peak and at its apotheosis through a horror film and that kind of experience. And I'm hoping with the multiplexes being increasingly a thing of the past, that the movie-going experience and the communal sense thereof is not something that's lost to the ages and lost to the passage of time. This is all about, really, Popcorn is all about movie making at its core. You have a bunch of people, and this is funny, we're going back to Los Angeles here after last week's See No Evil, but we're in LA. We're at University of California, and it's almost as if, I believe it's one of the LA area schools that Steven Spielberg cut his bones, but we're with budding filmmakers, and this is a movie by a horror film lover about the horror film writing and creative experience and conveying that in a populist way. And that's an amazing idea, because what you have is this disparate group of students getting together to put on a festival. And the festival includes the kind of the William Castle-esque gimmicky, you know, Smell-O-Vision, Spectrovision, all these kinds of things that make these kinds of 60s super bug B movies really stand out. And obviously William Castle infamously, and through his movie The Tingler, affixed electrical buzzes to seats so that he could electrify the experience, so to speak, and really jolt people into a different kind of cinema-going experience. And what you have here is a bunch of film students trying to do the same thing, and they get a talking to from this William Castle-esque figure who comes by with a briefcase full of different props and theater and all these kinds of film adjacent equipment, and says, this is what you guys should do, this is kind of what you should put on, and put on a spectacle they do. So, you know, they invite students to come see these schlocky films, and then the professor organizes these different, I guess, adjuncts to the experience, which include this creature that is supposed to align with a key moment in this killer bug movie, and this fly with this giant proboscis that sails over the audience. And this is just such a fun, warm movie and such an enticing love letter to the cinema going experience that you can't fault it. But against this kind of simplistic backdrop, you have this student, and this is getting very meta as well, because you have this student Maggie, who's portrayed by Jill-Marie Schoelen. She's known for Stepfather, Phantom of the Opera, When a Stranger Calls Back. So she's like kind of a scream queen in her own right, but also the fact that she was in the Phantom of the Opera is quite a neat idea, because speaking of like probably perhaps the most famous IP in the horror space that's set in a theater setting in front of an audience, it's got to be that one. And so it's kind of a meta reference to have her from that 1989 film being in this one as well, from I believe 1992, if I'm not mistaken, Popcorn. I could be off by a year or two, but it's really cool to see that, and her love of film and her just willingness to just sink her teeth into this festival production. It's super awesome. It's super fun. It's super rad. And she at the time is actually experiencing these nightmares as well. So what you see is her and having this repeated nightmarish images of this famed director who's got this backstory. And I believe the name is Lanyard Gates. And he's this budding horror filmmaker who went nuts and killed his family. He's got this really ominous backstory, and she is in some way interfacing with him through the supernatural world. And what joins that together is this piece of rare film that the class finds, the Hidden in a Box. And it's a bit like Ethan Hawke's Sinister in that way, where you find this footage and then you look at it, and then it's really creepy. It's got this Louis Buñuel kind of look to it, with this eyeball and this bleeding. And of course, the cineasts are all about this stuff, and they're wondering and questioning the kind of cinematic vision, and it's really super cool. I mean, everything about this movie is cool from the get-go, which has this kind of marquee font, and of course the popcorn, and of course the comedy and tragedy masks, all these kinds of motifs that run through it, and all these wonderful characters. Probably the least, cool of whom is the guy in the wheelchair. It almost conjures up the quite annoying Franklin from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but he's still kind of good in his own right. And so what you have is this production and this film festival, mini film festival, featuring invites to all the local co-eds, and it's being plagued by this mysterious cloaked figure who's, casting a pall over the proceedings in a way that's quite amazing. Because masks, speaking of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, factor into this one so prominently, and into the killer's MO, into the chief antagonist's MO. And just the interactions with the different characters is so cool. One of the things I learned is I think one of the actors in here is from The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, which is one of my favorite 70s horror action movies, and that is just such a barn burner if you have a chance to check that out. Another thing I've learned is that, well, I mean, this is a costume fest, so you have people invited to a film festival who all come dressed up, and we're all getting down to party. And speaking of getting down, there's a terrific funk band that plays to entertain the masses. And speaking of New Year's Evil, that I alluded to earlier, that's another film that has a really fun, super cool band. And it's always good when you see a mock band in a movie be actually good and not something that's just super cheesy. And when you see that, it really brings things to life. And this is a very, very lively movie. Popcorn is full of smarts, full of love for the cinema, full of great characters, full of pretty delicious practical effects, too. There's a proboscis death, courtesy of this fly creature that's made out of various constituent parts, as being an adjunct to the experience of the movie. There's so many cool little details that put this one a cut above of its of its 90s brethren. It's so super fun. I mean, the artwork too is amazing because it features again that theater mask, and this is such a. I mean, the title is just so perfect too. Is it just ladders back to the cinema going experience and how fun and how just amazing that is, and how it frequently draws people into the horror space, and how horror continues to resonate with people across the board as an in-person exciting thing to do when other facets of cinema tend to go straight to the streaming experience and don't warrant this kind of communal experience. So for me, this one is just super fun, and you have to add it to your top 3 to 5 90s horrors. It's great. I mean, I like other efforts from the decade, like a Wax Mask or that kind of thing, but this is just so spirited and so fun. It has that kind of fun element that's hard to put your finger on, that like Head of the Family has, or something like that Charles Band production, or something like a From Beyond. It's just completely enveloped with joy and just levity that it's really hard to really pin down what that experience kind of is. I'm trying to articulate it, but it's tough. There are certain moments that maybe sag in the middle as the festival is going on that maybe could have been tightened up, but all in all, this is a 4 out of 5 for me. Learned a lot about people who love cinema, and it's a communal experience watching this as well, and you wish you could see this in front of a big screen as the filmmakers probably intended in the early 90s. That would have been freaking awesome, and this is awesome too. 4 out of 5. Hope you continue to enjoy the show, and stay tuned. We're gonna have more exciting different genres coming down the pike, and more horror, of course. Talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you.